is Absolute Rally, powered by the Keel the Works team. Cordless tools tailored for the world of motorsport.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally Episode 5, Season 14, Happy Hump Podcast. We're halfway there. Thanks for staying with us. Have you got your headband yet? Have you got the headband from Keel the? Also, listen up. Right, the link that's going to link all the six voices together is very, very, very obvious. And throughout this podcast, I will make little hints towards it. So tune in, listen up. Anyway, Ryan Champion's doing something that we can't talk about, but he's not here this week. He's got a note. So it's me, Jack Bennion. And we've got Rich Milner from M Sport with us as well. Hello, Rich Milner.
How you doing?
We're all right. We're all right. You're in a bar. And I'm in my little studio and Jack's in his bedroom. So,
okay. Yeah, combination.
What a combination! There's an image that I'm just setting the scene. Anyway, Rich,
let me just cut that image out right away. I'm in the office working hard, so all right, not in my bedroom.
Sorry, mate. I thought you were off today. I do apologise. Listen, Rich, I wanted to grab you because obviously you're flying off, and it's Rally Australia next week. And what we wanted to know is what you guys have been doing up in Cockermouth that's going to make Sebastian Ogier's car bulletproof for Rally Australia?
Good question. We're not doing a lot of rain dances.
Yeah.
Because we could do it to rain on that first day to help us. But no, I mean, to be honest, there's nothing major we've done. We just need to go through and double check everything, triple check everything, because now it's so important. You know, everything is going to come down to this last 3 days of competition. So there's no room for error. We can't afford to have a silly mistake. We've got to bring our A game and hope it's a fair fight. And, you know, we have excitement like we did in Spain. So that's our main aim for this week, really.
Before I bring Jack in, by the way, I'm assuming I said this last week, Rich, right? I called Elvin Evans teammate of the year. And I had a very, very strong, and the boys agree with me, I have to say this, in that I think this championship could be decided by teammates almost.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, probably Thierry hasn't quite probably had the all-round support from his teammate that Sebastian Ogier has.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, I think we know where we're going to be starting on the road. We know we're first. We know Thierry second. That's two difficult positions to be in. Probably second is obviously going to be a slight advantage, but the majority of the boys that are going to be going faster and opening what we would expect to see them opening up a lead is the guys from fourth to tenth. And most of them are teammates of Thierry and Seb. So, you know, we need to get as many people in front of Thierry as possible. And that is going to come down to those other key players. So I think you're right. You know, the rally is going to be important for both the two top guys to have a strong performance. But at the same time, they shouldn't have to focus. It's just them that's got to win. You know, we've got every team's got three cars there. And the other two in both teams are going to be vital to helping their number one try and get that title. So yeah, I think it's going to be a real team game. It's going to be quite interesting to watch because Australia's renowned for being really tricky on day one. Slightly shorter day one this year compared to last year. It's only about 100 kilometres. So if we can minimise the damage, then that's key. But the problem is if you have a bad first day, you end up first on the road for most of the weekend, which is something we definitely don't want.
Rich, going off what you said there, you know, this is one of the, you know, the closest battles we've had in the WRC in a long time that's come down to the last round. So take us behind the scenes a little bit at M Sport over the past couple of weeks. What's the feeling like? Is it, you know, is there a bit of worry? Is there a bit of nerves? Is it anticipation? Is it excitement? What's it felt like around the factory in the last couple of weeks?
I think we're all a bit unsure whether we're in a good position or a bad position to be first on the road leading the championship, or be second on the road but not leading the championship. And I got asked the same question in Spain, and I'm still not sure on my answer. But I think having points on the board is probably the more important way, because they're there and they're locked in. You know, yes, we're being chased, and if you look at the facts, it's going to be a difficult position to start from. But I think we're not you know, we're all quite happy and glad that we achieved the victory last year. And I think we all knew to repeat something this year was going to be really difficult and looked like it was over. I mean, a lot of us have kind of conceded the fact that we were probably not going to win this year. And then we've kept chipping away. Had a few disappointing rallies. You know, Turkey was real shame for Seb because that was a good opportunity to win there. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. But now we're back in the game, and I think we're all just... I think we're all looking forward to it because it's going to be real, really good for everyone involved. It's going to be hard to watch as a team and be involved in it as a team, but you know, the good thing is we achieved what we really wanted to achieve last year, and now we're just going to throw everything we can to try and do it again before Seb leaves the team.
And saying you're throwing everything at it, Tony alluded to it a little bit at the start of the show there, but just talk us through, is there any updates, any changes to the car for the last round, or is there anything you're thinking of doing specifically for Australia?
No, not particularly. You know, it's for us, it's another rally. It was a short turnaround time from Spain to Australia. It was only about four and a half days in the workshop with the cars. So it's vital to make sure that they are prepared and looked at properly and everything's double-checked, triple-checked, like I said before. But realistically, with the regs so tight, there isn't anything super special you can do that's going to gain you a lot of performance, but you've just got to make sure everything you're doing is to the absolute best possible way you can do it. You know, real concentrate on the weight of the cars, strategy for the drivers and the engineers, and you know, really focusing on the recce to make sure the recce is perfect, because that's a really big part to the start of the week that not a lot of people see happens. But if you have a bad recce, it's a real bad way to go into your rally week. So we'll be concentrating on all those areas separately, but in reality, nothing is majorly different to what we've done all year.
Rich, you mentioned recce cars. I've gone slightly left field here, but have you ever known so much love to be shown for a Volvo?
Nope, and I don't think any of us ever will again.
Now, I'm going to ask you about them because you just mentioned recce and it was on my pad. Right, I can remember about 3 years ago, a certain former employee who used to look after your logistics saying, at the end of Rally Australia, we'll probably just push them into the water because they'll be retired at the end of this year. Here we are 3 years later and they're now for sale.
Everyone's very mean to these Volvos, you know. They've had a hard life, and then everyone's picking on them, saying that they want to burn them to the ground and throw them in the sea. And I think they're collector items at classic car shows and
Ryan Champion, genuinely, and I can show you the text next time I see it. Ryan Champion was texting me drunk the other night, trying to convince me to go half on one with him.
I mean, you know, they're a classic car. They're not without their personal traits. They all have individual traits. And we've all got to know them very well, but you know, they are a vital part of the WRC for the last 10 or 11 years or whatever it's been. But you know, they were really quite an impressive car when you look at what we've achieved with them and how long they've been going and traveling around the world, and you think how many times they've actually probably been around the world in mileage is huge.
Yeah,
but it got to the point where we had to look at something alternative. They were getting a little bit costly to run compared to a modern car. So we didn't replace them quickly because it was so difficult to find a suitable replacement. But with the Focus RS, and we've got a couple of four-wheel drive Cougars as well now, it's just a little bit more modern. And, you know, at the end of the day, the recce is limited to a set speed. It's not being too hard on the cars. It's just the distance. And we need a bit of driver comfort now. You know, all these drivers are, it's not quite the same as it used to be 20 years ago either. You know, the events are, to be honest, a little bit smoother, a little bit more refined. So the cars don't need to be so full on. But yeah, it'll be sad to see them go, but they've kept me awake at some late nights, cursing at them as to what we do next. But no, they've been a real big part of WRC.
No, I know they have, you know, and they've been, it feels like they've been around as long as I've been working it. And that's the thing. But as I say, genuinely, Ryan Champion was getting very nostalgic because he used to drive them as a car zero on GB. So he was, it'd be worth getting one. I'm thinking, well, we get one. What the hell do we do with it then? Because it seems almost rude to let them continue as a recce. They need to be kind of mothballed. They need to be mothballed somewhere. That's what needs to happen. But anyway, there you go. One last one, Rich, before I let you go. Grizzly or clean shaven in Australia?
Oh, it depends how the recce goes. I'll probably go clean just in case we in case we're successful. If it's all going badly, I'll be disappointed and I won't be shaving, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, good man, good man. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little insight into what goes on just before you guys leave for a long haul. And
it doesn't sound like we do much, does it, when you listen to what I've just rambled on about.
But, well, to be fair, I'm not even going to put this in the podcast. I'm just going to send it directly to Malcolm. He may well call you in for a review of your role. That's all I'm going to say.
I can imagine.
Now listen, mate, safe travels, and genuinely I have got everything crossed for you guys, and I said that last week because I think it's so important that M Sport get the win, not just Sebastien Ogier, but still, there you go, mate, safe travels, and we will catch up with you before the end of this season.
Yeah, appreciate that, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Rich Milner. Good luck to you and the guys at M Sport, and we'll be back after this break, folks.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. They say you don't know where you're going until you know where you've been. And in rallying, we love to reminisce. The cars, the legends, the style. And we're on a campaign to bring back service team headbands. Become a headbander. Find us on Twitter and Facebook to get involved. Go back to the future with the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Thanks to Rich Milner, of course, for joining us there. As I was genuinely at an airport, supping a soft drink, obviously. And thanks for the support from Trevor Agnew, who's texting us while we record this podcast, saying it's a great show so far. Thanks, Trev. Not that you're bitter not being on this week, but Mr. Hare's back. Jack Benyon's back, isn't he? Jack Benyon, hello. Did you enjoy the messages with regards to Hare over the weekend?
Yes, I did. It was very encouraging, and I very much enjoyed the extra support that was provided by the Absolute Rally listeners messaging me on Twitter and things like that to encourage me.
Yeah, there you go. And you had your headband, of course.
Of course I did. I'm a John McEnroe style headband on in support of Kielder Works team. So thanks to Kielder for sending the old headbands out, and I think it improved my look, to be honest.
Mate, it was a work of beauty when I seen it. It was a work of beauty,
Big thanks to Dan at We The Terrors as well, because he took the picture.
Did he? Right, yeah. do you know what? Right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about other bits and pieces, but I did mention you and many other business last week. You were back out with Paul O'Neill at the opening round, the MN Circuit Championship. There's a big, big thing I need to ask you before we go any further. Did you mention getting tickets to Paul?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I did ask for the tickets. Yeah.
Do you think you're gonna get any?
No. I think there's. I think the best Twitter response can't be read out. But I don't know. Did you see it? Did you know what's going on about?
I know. I've seen bits and pieces going back and forth.
I'll send it to you later. It can't be. It definitely can't be broadcast. But there was some dodgy mic taking going on from one of Mel C's trolls, which was quite enjoyable. But anyway.
Brilliant. Anyway, let's get back to rallying. And
it is rallying.
Well, yeah, I suppose it is. How was your weekend, the little MX5 again?
Yeah, good. We were a bit slow to start on the first stage. I don't really know what happened. We lost about 20 seconds to the class leader, Ryan Burns, who's a quick lad anyway. But yeah, we were just well off the pace on that first stage. And then after that, it all came back. We were pulling that time back nicely. And then on the penultimate stage, I think we would have got quite close to Ryan before the last stage. But unfortunately, we had a bit of a problem with the battery, which came loose. So yeah, not the greatest end to the event, but we had a lot of fun as always, me and Paul. And I don't think that MX5 can go any quicker, to be honest.
I know it's been threatened before. Are you going to do any more rounds this year? This particular championship year, if you like.
Possibly in the championship, yeah. It just depends what Paul wants to do, really. I think in future, I only want to sit with Paul, really. He usually rings me up when he tells me what to do an event, and I just say yes and tick it off my calendar. But I think anything bigger than that, you know, obviously MN does get some opportunities to do different tests and sit in different cars and stuff like that, which obviously I enjoy from being someone who's interested in the sport and stuff. But for me, there's more enjoyment in seeing someone proper get the chance to do stuff and use that as a bit of an opportunity. So if there's a chance to get younger people involved in the sport in any way, shape or form, then I'd much rather they do it than me. So I think anything more than MN Circuit Rally Championship rounds is probably off the table for the near future, and unless some mega opportunity.
I feel like you've just wrote a press release and read it out by it. You were effectively stepping down from international co-driving, Jack.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I love it.
I get asked that question quite a bit when you're out next. Obviously, every time I see someone on a rally, it's, when you're out next. And I suppose the response has become quite rehearsed now.
I was going to say, mate, that was genuinely like getting some kind of press release of you stepping down from international competition.
I'm not important enough to have a press release, Tony.
No, yes, you are. Yes, you are, Jack Bengen. Listen, we want to, there's a few bits and pieces of news that's been going on. Sake of Ireland could be back, mate, for 2020. By all accounts, according to your paper, David's wrote a little piece on it. I want to talk about the sidebar story as well after we've covered that.
I'm sure you do. yeah, the Circuit of Ireland. It'd be nice to have it back in the WRC, wouldn't it? Well, it'd be nice to have it back at all, really. It's one of my favourite rallies to go to, actually. Really enjoy Circuit of Ireland each year. It'd be nice to have a proper Circuit of Ireland, wouldn't it? You know, taken in different parts of the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland as well. But yeah, it looks like 2020 is an option. They've not ruled out having Wales Rally GB move around a little bit and Wales appear open to that as long as it comes back to them eventually. So yeah, I think we could see, you know, more rumours of different places in the UK and Ireland wanting to take on a WRC round. And, you know, it's brilliant to have that flexibility, isn't it, as an event, to be able to pick and choose. And, you know, if the support is there from the right people, the money comes in, then, you know, it's a great opportunity for everyone all round, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, it's just, we use this, and I feel like we throw the word out really, really cheaply, and I don't mean to, but the word iconic is one which is we trot out on such a regular basis, and sometimes I get really uncomfortable saying it. But Sake of Ireland, you only have to Google it. It's one of those events, you know, it's just one of those events. You Google it and you go, oh, okay, I get it. And if you're not familiar with it, and I know we've got listeners all over the world, please go on to YouTube or something like that, put Circuit of Ireland in, and you can go all the way back to the heyday. You know, you think about, you know, Jimmy McRae, Russell Brooks and all these names and everything else. Check it out all the way up to modern day. You know, the image, I think what I've just said, and then you look at the image you guys have used, by the way, on this, which is obviously Craig Breen and Scott Martin in an R5 Citroen, kind of, I think, tells the whole tale, really, because we go all the way, we go through every generation of rally car.
It's gone from 5 days every Easter weekend, you know, back in the 70s, people like Billy Coleman and people like that made their name there and inspired, you know, Breen's generation and people a little bit older than Craig as well to get into rallying. John Campion's another one who's a big man behind the Team Ireland program, who collects Lancers in America. You know, he was inspired by going out at night on Easter weekend to go and watch Billy Coleman and his Stratos. So it's got a lot of history, and it's even survived being condensed into a small area as well. You know, obviously it was a Circuit of Ireland. It did go all around, and now obviously it's been condensed. Well, it was condensed into the Antrim area. So, you know, it's even coped with that. So yeah, fantastic event.
Brilliant. Now, the sidebar story, Jack Bengen. I've had whispers on this for quite some time, and I haven't been able to talk about it. And it was weird because I actually had to speak to somebody yesterday to say, can I actually talk about this? And then you guys put a story in. And I'm going to read the headline, because the headline tells the tale itself. Liverpool City Chiefs to visit Rally Spain. I know there was people from Liverpool City Council over in Spain last weekend, and obviously they were checking out what went on in the super special stage and things like that. We have had stuff, obviously being a proud Liverpool lad. We had the Red Bull Drift event here, and I didn't fully probably appreciate at the time when that event was on, and I know some people who were involved in it, that it was almost possibly a test bed for the opening super special stage on a world championship rally, which is just mind blowing for me.
Definitely. It's, you know, I'm not too far from Liverpool either, and got a lot of love for the city. And, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity, isn't it, to bring rallying, closer to a bigger city for the first time in a little while, really. 'Cause, you know, Deeside is great, but it's a little bit of a middle ground area between cities, isn't it? It's not really close to a massive city, whereas obviously Cardiff was quite a bit bigger. So that was that did have access to more people. But a Liverpool super special and maybe some sort of service park or something like that to start the event would be, you know, absolutely fantastic. It'd be just a great opportunity for rallying to get it closer to other people, and hopefully that visit to Spain was a successful one for the councillors.
I hope so. And I know the area that they're talking about, and I know the lay of the land quite literally around there, and trust me, there is space for a WRC service park. The infrastructure is there. And the road network that they're looking at using for the super special is more than there as well. And needless to say, the moment that's confirmed is the moment that I will commit to doing Rally GB.
Wow. Again. Exclusive. Yeah. Absolute Rally exclusive. You heard it here first.
Yeah. To be honest with you, right, I've already spoke to two sponsors, and I've already got two people on board if it's confirmed that I will do the rally again. So that's what it would take to be. I think you asked me a few weeks back, or maybe a few months ago, whether it was you or whether it was somebody else on the podcast, so what would it take for you to do it again? And I couldn't quite put into words at the time, because this wasn't even on the agenda. I don't think this was on the radar. Something like this would be great for me. And it would be one of those events where I could possibly retire after it quite happy, because I think I would have ticked all my rally boxes completely at that point.
So, if it goes past Anfield, I'll do it as well.
It's never going to go past Anfield, mate. Let's not be silly now. Let's not be silly. Anyway, listen, I want to crack on with a few other bits and pieces before I let you go. We're not going to let you go. Obviously, we're going to go over and talk to Mark Higgins. But I'm really conflicted, because we had him on the podcast week before last. Me and Ryan spoke to him. He didn't say a word to us about this. And of course, we've been quite hard on R4. But Oshin Price last weekend, cracking result, debut for an R4 car, putting in very, very competitive stakes times. And it could be a way for Oshin back into the sport, maybe.
Yeah, I think I don't think he said anything on the podcast, because I don't think he knew at that point. Right. It's a very late deal that came together just before, he went to visit the team out in Rally Spain, didn't he? So, a bit of a late one that all came together, but yeah, no qualms with that performance. Difficult to go to an event like that, a clubman event in Spain when you don't speak the language and stuff like that. It must have been quite difficult for Dale Fearn, his co-driver, having the road book in Spanish. I imagine that was quite difficult. So, yeah, difficult event for them, but obviously put the times in, like you said. And, I don't think the performance of the car has ever been an issue we've complained about, is it? You know, I think what the R4 it seems like it's too expensive for where it sits on the ladder, but also it theoretically should give lots of different manufacturers an opportunity to build a car without worrying about homologation and things like that. So there's obviously pros and cons to the format, but the way it's costed seems a little bit too much. But Osh has clearly shown that that car has got the performance that it needs to compete at that level.
That's somewhat ironic, isn't it? Really, we've got Mark Higgins, and again, removing the smoke and mirrors, we did the piece with Mark Higgins a little bit earlier on, and Mark has got some quite some will say radical views on how to sort out the BRC, and the I'm not going to ruin it for you, but pretty much ironically the R4 kind of mindset of a manufacturer shell and putting running gear over it is pretty much where Mark was going with it, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It's a very, very similar idea, and the idea of opening it up. But what isn't opened up by the R4 concept is the cost, which is controlled. Yep. Is the problem we've discussed a billion times on this podcast, is cost controlling things just doesn't work. So that's the big issue there. Listen later on to Mark, and maybe that'd be a better idea of going about it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. What was I going to say? Sorry, Chris Meek was back in action last weekend, albeit in a Skoda R5 and on the Condras rally. Now I put the tweet out. Unfortunately, there was an accident that happened on the rally, aside from obviously Chris having nothing to do with Chris, but Chris had problems, his engine let go. But there was a fatality on the rally. And were you surprised it continued that rally, Jack?
It's always a difficult one in those circumstances, isn't it? We've seen rallies continue or be stopped in those scenarios. It's funny you should ask, actually. I've seen quite a few people posting about this on social media, and quite a few co-drivers, actually, I'm sure, saying that they'd rather the event continued if that happened to them, which, it's always a difficult one, isn't it? I think, personally, if it was my rally, which God forbid I am ever allowed to organise a rally, I would have to stop it. I think it's just too much of a big event to continue.
I'm completely in agreement, and yeah. I was really, really shocked, and obviously it goes without saying, condolences to Rick Van Leeson's family. It's such a huge thing. And, we talk about rally, and obviously that's what the podcast is about. But, fortunately, it's not very often a fatality happens, but it brings it home whenever it happens, that at whatever level, it's such a dangerous sport, Jack.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's life is bigger than rally, and it sometimes doesn't feel that way when you're listening to this podcast and when we're talking about this every week and, you know, I'm writing about it every week. But, you know, it should never come down to that. It should never, ever come down to that. And, you know, this is one of the things I sometimes worry about in this country is, you know, I do think we have, sometimes we go a bit overboard with safety and we do go a bit too far. But when the right sort of safety ideas are implemented, you know, some of the, maybe the older guard you would call them, or the people who think it was much better back in the 80s, stand up and say, this is outrageous. You know, we shouldn't have to do all these safety things. Even people who say we shouldn't wear hands or harnesses, which, to be honest, I've got no interest even engaging in that conversation. But yeah, I think, you know, sometimes you have to sit back and think, these safety changes are needed. And, you know, there wasn't really anything, I don't think, that could have stopped what happened at the weekend. But I think a better attitude towards safety and in improving safety is, you know, really needed. And, you know, it takes an event like this, unfortunately, someone passing away to really put that into perspective for people.
Well said, Jack. Well said. Some other bits and pieces we've, as I say, we wanted to. I tell you what, I like the piece that Oshin's done with regards to what he wants to try and achieve to get back to WRC2. He's pinned Robin Perra as the point of where needs to aim for. And I just hope he gets the opportunity, really, to go toe to toe, because we all know Robin Perra's history. We all know he's now a works driver for Skoda. We all know what privileges that brings as well. And you know, to use him as the benchmark, you've at least got to be on a level playing field. I just hope he gets, you know, he didn't say too much, to be fair, when he was on the podcast the other week. But we know he's working with some people now that will find budget and things like that. And I just hope and pray that they do find that type of budget, because, you know, one thing, you know, we've got John Armstrong coming up a little bit later on this podcast. Last time he was on with us, I know he's been working on a few things trying to get back out. Just the numbers that are required to run an R5 car in WRC2 is just, it's just telephone numbers. It's, you know, it's people buying houses. You know, that's the equivalent, which just seems nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy money, isn't it? And the big problem for Oshin is not the car or even so much the team, really, when it comes to the R5. It's the testing and competing with a works manufacturer. And, you know, as we've seen in WRC2 in recent years, if you're not with the top manufacturer or at least one of the top manufacturers, then you're very much going to struggle. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you're not in the car 24/7, then, you know, you're going to find it difficult to compete with people who are. And Oshin's going to have to put together a lot of money and commit a lot to, you know, getting a work seat if that's what he's, you know, if that's what he's aiming to do, or if he does go private, he's gonna have to commit to the testing. And even then, you know, the works team have access to all the maps and all that sort of stuff, don't they? And, you know, there's parts and stuff. They've got endless amounts of parts and things in the factory. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's not a new thing, is it? It's an age old adage. If you're with a works team, then you're much more likely to succeed. And, you know, hopefully Osh can put together something that does sort of rival that Skoda Motorsport level of preparation to have a go at Robin Perra.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fingers crossed. And hopefully, Osh, next time you come on, you'll be able to tell us this stuff. Anyway, Jack, have you got anything you want to cover before we get to the end of the business?
Of course I have.
Go on then.
The front page of MN this week, which I'm quite excited about. Am I allowed to talk about this?
Of course you are.
I don't want to feel too PR-y. But
go on,
people
don't do it as a press release as you did when you retired from international co-driving.
I'd like to announce that I am retiring. No. The front of MN this week is pretty exciting for me, I think, as someone who's gone to the Autosport show, regardless of where I work. Let's just put that aside for a minute. I used to love going to the Autosport show when I was a kid with my dad and getting up and close and personal to the Formula One cars and the rally cars as well. And this year we've got the WRC launching at the Autosport show as it did last year, but last year it was closed to the public. It was just on the Thursday on the media day, and this year it's going to be done on the Saturday. So anyone who wants to go to the Autosport show, regardless of who you work for, where you're from, what you do, what gender you are, you can go and get up and close and personal to the new WRC cars, and they'll have the new liveries on, and all the drivers will be there to kind of talk about them. So a first chance really for any rally fan to see the new WRC cars up close and personal in person. So get your tickets for the Saturday. I think it'll be really good, and I'll see you all there.
What was really weird about this year when it happened, I was there Thursday, Friday, and I went out into the hallway, if you like, not into the halls itself, but obviously with the hallway where everybody kind of congregates waiting to go in and get the tickets, and all the drivers were there. It was a bit weird. It was like they were all waiting for the mate to come out with a ticket for them.
It was,
because I bumped into, I was talking to Seb Marshall for a bit, and I was talking to Hayden. And then Mads Osberg rocked up then and completely, obviously, unliveried team, where you're like, oh, wonder where Mads is going to end up then. It was all kind of a bit like that. But it was a little bit weird, the fact it was the media day. That's it. If memory serves, last year or this year, got an autosport syndrome. this year was the fact that they all had to get off for Monte Carlo testing, and I think they went on the Friday or something.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. A lot of them went on the Friday as well. I think there's a bit of, in all honesty about it, I think there was a bit of a worry that it was done, it was organised, sort of late 2017, and the planning and stuff is quite substantial, and they need to make sure the drivers were safe and they had somewhere to be, and they weren't being mobbed, and they were well looked after. So I think this year there's been a lot more lead times, there's been a lot more time to plan, and the drivers are being well looked after, and they can shuffle things around a little bit, and I think the manufacturers have worked to move their testing schedules around a little bit to make sure that they're all free. So a lot of hard work's gone into it, but hopefully it'll be rewarded on the day.
Happy days, absolutely, absolutely. What's your running of the business?
Mine's very agricultural, let's say.
Okay.
It's road rallying related. Okay.
Wow.
As anyone who follows me on social media might know, I went to a road rally a couple of weeks ago. I went to the Kilwendeg road rally, which is supposed to be the biggest road rally of the year. So the Welsh Road Rally Championship, for those people not au fait with road rallying, is probably the biggest championship in the country now. It's obviously where a lot of the old guys used to get their breaks back in the day, the Motoring News Championship. And if you don't know what road rallying is, it's basically rallying on an open road, but a little bit slower. last weekend was the Powers Lanes Rally, which is not the event I went to, but it was the round where Andy Davis wrapped up the Welsh Road Rally Championship. And it's the first four-wheel drive to ever win that championship. It's a Subaru Impreza GC8, which sounded absolutely phenomenal on the Kilwendeg Rally. And Andy, has put a lot of effort into really going for that championship this year, winning it. And he's done so with Michael Gilby, who a lot of Absolute Rally listeners will know quite well from social media and stuff, because he's probably the funniest rallying person on social media, I'd say.
I agree. I'd book him, to be honest with you. I'd book him for my gig.
He's head and shoulders above anyone else I can think of, to be honest. He's very amusing. And he won the Navigators part of the Welsh Road Rally Championship the weekend before. So well done to them too. It was nice to go and see what the event's all about. I started at about 12 o'clock and finished spectating at about 6 a.m. and I went down to the Kilwendeg, which I didn't get to talk about last week because I wasn't here. Sorry about that. It was a fantastic event to go to, and I recommend anyone who gets the chance to go and see what a Welsh Road Rally is all about.
There you go. Jack, very succinctly done. We're going to now go to a little break, and the team that is behind Absolute Rally, which of course is normally Jack, me, Ryan, who's doing something that we can't talk about, Trev comes in, and Alistair, who produces it all, the team are thanking you so much because you've been really, really good, and our figures have gone up. I don't know what's happened, but all of a sudden our figures have started to go up for downloads. So somebody is spreading the love, and I really, really appreciate it. And
It is?
Go on.
Stefan Prevo.
Stefan Prevo, without a shadow of a doubt.
That's all it is.
We do have
him on every week. Just get rid of me. Sub me out.
Do you know what? Somebody else said that the other week. Not about getting rid of you, but said, can't you just have him on every week? Yeah.
God, we'd need
a great lawyer
to have him on, but we'd also need a lawyer team.
The legal team would be busy, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
So there you go. So anyway, folks, we do appreciate the download and the team behind Absolute Rally. Really, really do appreciate it. Right, we're going to go to a little break, and then we're going to go back to a British champion, another what is a multiple British champion now, not only in rally but in British rallycross as well. Mark Higgins, who secured British rallycross title last weekend, joins us to talk about a little tiny smidgen of rallycross, because let's be honest, we're a rally program, so we did a smidgen of that, but we talk the epic video of the Romanian road that he drove, win that epic Subaru, the one, of course, which he threw around the TT course. So I'm not going to say too much. I'm going to let Mark tell the tale, but we'll be back after this break. There you go. Job done, mate.
Cheers.
There you go. You've been part of quite a lot of the podcast this week. Well done.
Way too much.
No. It's good to have you back, mate. It's good to mix it up.
Good.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go. Right, I'm going to go away and edit this and get it all put together. So, Jack, you go about your business and get yourself home safe.
I've still got a fair bit of work to do, but I'll crack on.
Thank you, mate. I'll see you soon.
Speak to you soon.
Bye.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team, paying homage to heroes and legends of years gone by.
Spot on.
Dear God.
Have you had any problems with your car?
Not really, only between seat and driving wheel, that's all.
I can go.
No, but I know I can.
But if you allow me.
Best in the world!
But of course, Kielder continue to push forward with the latest technology, producing cordless tools for the world of motorsport. Go back to the future with the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Have you figured out the voices in the Sting yet? Have you managed to put the six voices together and put the link together that only six people have got that one right? Anyway, Ryan Champion's not with us this week. He's doing something that we can't talk about. But what we will say, it's works blessed cars. That's all we can say. It's works blessed. I say that really tongue-in-cheek. Jack and I, obviously, were at the top of the programme. We've also now got Mark Higgins joining us in the middle section. Hiya, Mark.
Hello, mate. How are you doing? You all right?
We're really good. Right. We're going to do things in chronological order, in reverse. Congratulations. You're a British champion again.
Yeah, thanks for that. I didn't think I'd get one again in my third decade, which is a scary thought. But yeah, it was good to get that at Sunday at Silverstone. We had a really good weekend and nice to finish the championship off with a nice, clean race.
Yes. Well done, Mark. Right. Now,
moving on.
You did really well up until that point, until you giggled. Jack and I have spoke about this quite a bit. Now, I was over on the Isle of Man when you did your TT lap with that car.
Yeah.
Okay. Massive TT fan. Me and my missus go over and everything. Anyway, by the by, that was probably, to me, that felt like, because I know you had to learn the island, and I'm not being dismissive, that was more like a circuit type attack, time attack, from visually. Whereas on this particular run that has been going around with what you've done over in Romania, which we want to talk to you about, that felt a lot more like a rally, stage to me.
I
think obviously because you obviously had your co-driver in with you, and you wrote notes for it and everything else. But is that a fair comparison, the way I've just done that, or I've done you a little bit of this justice there?
No, I definitely agree. I mean, we attacked it very much like a rally. I mean, there's certain parts of it, maybe a rally car would have actually been a bit faster because of the torque it had. Because I think we were in first gear 49 times for some of the hairpins and the slower corners. The TT was very much flat out, a lot more scary. On the edge, because you knew the corners and every corner what was coming up. But this one was totally different. I mean, the conditions were changing, as you probably saw in the video. We only got one clear run with sort of partly, well, mainly dry conditions. The altitude, we had loads of issues which you just wouldn't imagine that the mountain kept throwing at us. And it was a proper challenge. It was really good fun, but I wouldn't say the same pressure as the TT, but very much like a rally. And once you got in the zone, it was just like doing a great 82-kilometre rally stage.
Mark, take us behind the scenes of that stage, and how many weeks preparation kind of went into that in terms of you and Darren? How many recce runs did you get and things like that? How much preparation actually went into the actual run itself?
Well, the problem with that road is it's only open for a couple of months in the year. I mean, all through the winter time, it's closed because of snow on the top. we went and had our first look at it. I think it was about 2 months before the run, and it was snowed over the middle section. So we got to do, I think, about 30K on one side and 40K of the other side. So we'd missed out about 15, 20K in the middle. So we got a rough indication of what it was like. And to drive around it, around the road, I think it took about an hour and maybe 2 hours to get back to the starting point. So that took a day to maybe get two or three runs over it. And one side was completely different to the other. One was a bumpy sort of Corsica, twisty tarmac road. The first section was absolutely flat out, and then all uphill hairpins on quite smooth, open road. So we went over there. We tried to gauge where we'd go with the setup. Tyre choice was really, really difficult because a rally tyre, we didn't think would last that amount of time because of the sort of duration and the power we were trying to put through the car. So we ended up with a racing tyre. But the problem with the racing tyre, we had a rock falls every time we drove over the road. So you just nick a little stone with a touring car tyre and you're in a world of pain, and that's the end of the run. So we only had, you know, at our best over the week we were there, going to get four complete runs. And as it happened, we only got sort of one in the wet and one in the dry.
It must have been absolutely incredible to actually go through it. But just before we talk about the actual run itself, take us back to the start when this all came about. Whose idea was this, and where did it all come from? And did you need persuading to do it, or were you up for it straight away?
Subaru are great. I mean, we've got this car sat there. We never got to run it around the TT. We only did two laps around the TT course, so we never got to finish that job, really. So the car sat there, and the powers that be think of crazy things to do. This road has been mentioned. It had been on Top Gear quite a few times, and we met somebody that could make it possible to actually close off the whole road. It took about 200 marshals to do it. The local club got involved, and it sort of went through there. We had to speak to two different government sections, because one side of the mountain is run by one party, the other section. So it took a lot of paperwork to get it all sorted, and then probably about a month before, we knew it was a goer. The car was converted to more of a rally car than a race car, and that was it. And no, I didn't take much convincing. This one was really, really good fun.
How much did the car change from the Isle of Man car? How much setup changes were there, and did you play a massive part in that, or did you sort of talk over with ProDrive what was going to happen before the event? How did that kind of play out?
The great thing with ProDrive is they've got the experience of all this with rally and that particular car. So we basically put it into a rally, like a bumpy rally tarmac spec. They came over and did one of the recce with us and had a look at the road. We had a good chat about it, and we did a little test, not over there. And we were happy with the base and the setup. We actually did a lot of testing up at Cadwell, a day's testing at Cadwell, which is not like the run, but it gave us a balance feel, which is very important for that particular road. The tyres, as I said, was very important to see which we thought would potentially be the best. So you're gambling, and on a run like that, you've either got it somewhere near or you got it very wrong. And thankfully, we didn't have a bad run over it.
Well, out of all the things that you've done and everything that you do, where do these challenges kind of rank these days? Because, you know, you've been at the cutting edge of WRC, you've been at the cutting edge of doing British Championship. Obviously, you've just won a rallycross title. Well, we'll just throw that in as well. Where does this kind of rank in terms of pressure and satisfaction, I guess?
It's different because you're not really competing against anyone, so that element's different. But you're competing against, for example, in Romania, against the elements, the whole challenge. It was a real good team effort, really enjoyable, to be honest. The TTs probably ranks up there is one of the biggest things I've done in terms of the pressure for that, the fact you've got all the people there, the speed you're going all the time, and you're going into the unknown, which is fantastic, isn't it? You know, at my age, to still get the opportunities to do these things, I'm very, very, very lucky. But I love working with ProDrive, the team, and everybody at Subaru USA that get behind it. And you're working on these for months, and hopefully we'll come up with something else fairly special again in the not too distant future.
Do you know, you've just mentioned age there, which is something none of us like mentioning, let's be honest. But, right, let me put this to you. Right, we're self-preservation, we all kind of, that kicks in as we get older. That's a given. But do you think that Mark Higgins at 21, 22, 23 would have been as disciplined to be able to put his mind to do the run that you did?
No, I mean, I look at back when I started, I was really, really quick always. If I got through the first two stages and not crashed, I was on for a good result. But the second stage was almost my, you know, always my sort of bogey stage, especially when I was trying to beat people like Dave Metcalf in the Nova. So, no, I mean, I think now you almost go as quick as what you ever did in your sort of heyday, but you can do it all the time. And you just, experience is so important. And I think we can see that even in WRC now, that it's gone through so many stages of, we look at, we've got a, when I started, you had to be 40 to get a chance to drive a World Rally car when I was 20. When I got to 40, you had to be 20. And if you look what Loeb's just gone and done, and some of the guys that are actually getting the results in there, they're not always the young guys. It's all about the long game. And I think experience is still a massive key and very important in getting the results at the end of the day.
So I know Jack's just kind of mentioned it before, but where to next? Is it the next challenge? Is it going to be with this car? Is it going to be rally? Of course, you have just finished the season. What does 2019 hold for Mark Higgins?
Really don't know. I mean, I'd love to rally again. It's the first, I've only ever not done a rally in 2 years since I was 16. And this was one of the years, but we've obviously done the rally cross and we've done the Romanian and different bits and bobs, but I do miss my rallying. And that's where Romania was great because it was as close to a rally as you're going to get, you know, being in the car with a co-driver, the two of you just reading and working together. So I'd love to do some more, but it's just getting very, very difficult. I mean, you look at it every year as your last sometimes, and one day I'll have to get a real job, but not quite yet, hopefully. Still got loads of films on, but the competing and the rallying is definitely what I love, and I've missed not being out in China this year, to be honest.
I think there's a few. I think we were talking to Chris Atkinson only about that. Everything seems to have shrunk down now over in China. Obviously, he was over there as well. Niall was over there. Yourself was over there. And there's a couple of others as well. But I think there's only, is it Carl Kruder or someone? I think it's the only person that's still out there doing stuff, I think.
Yeah, it is this year. I mean, we had Alistair McRae as well. I mean, it was great. There was four or five of us had a real good little battle at the front. But now they've only got the one sort of European foreign driver there in the championship now, so it has changed, unfortunately. But I mean, rallying's difficult. You look at the British Championship. I don't know where that's going to go next year. These cars are not cheap. You know, you're talking 200 grand and probably the same to run them for a year, and that's just out of most people's budget. So I don't know where it goes. I mean, the WRC is doing fantastic, but it's massive, massive money, and I just hope we can get it all going again. Then we get massive entries. Maybe cut half the rallies down would be a good start. And have everybody sort of entering them all.
I was just going to say, if bearing in mind the experience you've got, if I could give you a magic wand with regard to, you know, British Championship and things like that, what would you do? Because I do feel we've had Ian Campbell on, and we've debated this so many times now, and I genuinely don't know what the answer is. But you've been through, you know, various evolutions of the British Rally Championship. Where do we go? Because R5 is so expensive. You know, AP4. Or the, you know, the equivalent of the R4, whatever it may be, maybe that's the answer, but they're not cheap either. Where do we go?
I have thought about it long and hard. I actually put a little proposal together once, not so many years ago, what I thought would work, and it's only my opinion, but we all know how much everybody enjoys watching and driving historic cars, so that's, I'll just store that for 1 minute. If you look at touring cars, you've got a chassis, so you can get any manufacturer involved, very, very low cost. They even have an engine package, and basically you have a package that you build your body onto. For me, I almost think we go back to, I might get shot down now, but a good, reliable rear-wheel drive formula that people get out there and enjoy, and then you go to the next level, up to four-wheel drive in World Championship or European Championship or whatever, but make it spectacular, make it enjoyable, and people will do it and make it affordable. And the crowds will come, the people will come, and then you start getting a championship back. The problem with these modern cars, unless they're driven absolutely on the limit, like you see on the WRC, they cannot sometimes look that spectacular. We love the sound of a normally aspirated car, and I don't know anyone that doesn't like driving a Mark II Escort. I'd go back and drive that any day now if I had the choice to go and have a bit of fun at rallying. And it's safer on the corner speed, because the corner speed of these modern cars is so high, when it does go wrong, it's a big accident, and that's the one thing we don't want in terms of spectators. So that would be my idea. As I say, I may get shot down, but I think it'd be fun to drive, fun to watch, affordable, And you could even run a low-cost engine in the same chassis for your juniors or your younger drivers, and then you just step up to a different engine, but have decent capacity, which is more standard, so you've got good power reliably.
Well, that's kind of what they tried to do. I'm going back, probably, that was kind of the joy of the Mark II Escort, wasn't it? You could run a 1300 one, then you could take that 1300 out, put a 1600 in, then you could put a 2 litre in, and not a lot kind of needed really to change. Okay, you know, you change the diff and stuff like that, but that was kind of the big thing about the Escort. I always remember Malcolm Wilson talking about that, actually.
Yeah, well, as I say, if you go out, I mean, you go and watch the Roger Elbert clock, even a badly driven Mark II still looks very good.
I can confirm that, I've drove one.
But it's the whole noise and the atmosphere and what it was all about, and, you know, I think we've tried to make rallying like racing, and we rallied because of the endurance, because it was different. I mean, if you lose a minute now, you might as well just go home. You know, back in the old days, you lost a minute, you could come back and fight and do something about it, because there was very much the endurance theme about it. So it's very, very hard, because things evolve and there's no right answer, and I may be talking rubbish, but for me that would be a good answer.
Okay. Well, I genuinely hope somebody's listening, and I hope somebody takes something on board. I must admit, I don't know whether you're excited, but I am genuinely excited by the fact that now we've got David Richards involved. I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I've got everything crossed that, you know, grassroots rallying all the way up in this country will benefit from having, you know, what we class as one of our own, I guess, Mark, a rally man.
Yeah, no, I think David will be fantastic for it. He's listening to everybody. He's spending a lot of time on it, and he's been there and done it, which is great. I mean, I'm doing karting with my son, and I look at the problems we have there. We have too many classes, we have too many events, and same in rallying. Unfortunately now, if we look at the people that run these events, it's the same guys that are doing it, and they've been doing it for years, thankfully. There's not the young people coming through to run the event, so we can't be having a rally every weekend, or, you know, two or three a weekend. There's not the people to sort of look after it. We're better off having maybe 10 or 20 proper events where you've got to struggle to get an entry even.
Yeah.
That everybody goes to, the whole atmosphere is right, rather than doing everything half-heartedly. And I see that in a lot of sports. We just try to do too much. We end up with too many clubs. Let's get everybody together and make what we do fantastic, rather than everything a bit average.
Yeah, well said. Well, on that note, Mark, I'm going to thank you for your time. But on the proviso, I'll let you go at this point of when you find out what you're going to do with the beast that is the Subaru, which we all just love seeing back. And even what I love about it, it's still the blue as well.
I know. It's a mega car, and the noise it makes, there's nothing that makes that chirp.
Yeah.
The only problem is you only hear the chirp when I'm lifting off. So I have to lift off a bit more. That's my reason for lifting off.
That's a good excuse. Listen, mate, genuinely, well done last weekend, of course, and well done on that, and we will get you back again soon.
Okay, mate, all the best.
Thanks a lot. Mark Higgins, thanks for joining us on Absolute Rally.
This is Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Get connected. Check out the website, absoluterally.co.uk. Find us on Facebook, Absolute Rally. Follow us on Twitter, @absolute_rally. All the latest updates and news, plus much more. Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. Have you managed to figure out what the link is with all the voices and everything else? Six voices, okay? There's a common connection. Think about it. It's not as hard as what you think. We've had loads of correct answers now, and we've also had loads and loads of incorrect answers. Ryan Champion got it in 10 seconds. There's your challenge. Anyway, speaking of Ryan Champion being quick, there's somebody that's a little bit quicker than him, probably on a computer game, but I'm not too sure, probably in real life these days. John Armstrong, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thanks very much for having me back on. And just while you're speaking about the challenge for the names, I think I got five of them correct, and I couldn't get the sixth one correct. I was asking Ryan if I'd got them all correct, but I think I got one wrong. So
Ryan,
I need to try harder.
You do, honestly. Right, you'll get it. Well, it's going to be one of those things when we don't get me wrong, John. Right, I had to ask the answer. But when I asked the answer, it was one of those ones where you go, "Oh yeah, that's obvious." Yeah. So yeah.
It's one of them. it's one of them ones you think it's going to be something much more difficult than what it is. But I need to get all the names correct first.
You do.
Before I have no idea what the link is, never mind the last name.
it's there, as I say, when you figure it out. It's so when you hear it, it's going to be one of those ones where you go, no, I can't believe I didn't spot that one. So anyway, listen, you're on your lunch. So, I'm very conscious of the fact you're on lunch because you need to keep your energy levels up because, okay, you're not driving real rally cars, but you kind of are. You're working very, very hard on Dirt 2 at the moment, but, you put this video out the other week. And it really messed with my mind, and it doesn't take a lot to mess with my mind, John. but it was a kind of virtual reality. It looked really real, but I knew it was obviously you using footage of a game as well. It completely and utterly confused me, and everybody kind of enjoyed watching it. Can you just tell us what was behind it and how did it come about? What was it? It was Sweet Lamb, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Sweet Lamb. I suppose going back to where the idea came from, there was a German guy who sort of started posting videos about maybe 2 years ago, and he invented this type of video, and he was doing it on circuit race videos in a different simulator. So sort of I always had a notion of doing it myself, but like you said, there's a bit of camera trickery going on, so it took me a while just to sort of figure out how I was going to do it, and then get all the supplies and everything I needed to do it. And even that first video, it's not 100% set up, so I know a lot of different ways that I want to improve it going forward. But yeah, it was just basically done with Dirt Rally 1. We're making Dirt Rally 2.0 now, which is the follow-up to that game. So I used the first one with the virtual reality. Anyone that doesn't know what virtual reality is, it's basically a headset that you wear, and there's two like lenses for each eye, and whenever you put it on, it's basically like you're sitting in the car and you can look to your apexes, you can look out the side window and you're going fully sideways with a drift on. So it's really that next level when it comes to immersion and bringing you right there in you know, a feeling of being in a real rally car. So there's loads of people making videos of themselves recording just normal virtual reality, but I always thought I could do a really good job of driving it really well and then bringing this, what is called mixed reality is what the term is now. It's basically, I record that, me driving the stage from the gameplay of the in-game footage, and then I have another camera, a GoPro, mounted on the headset, and that records my real-life hands and the steering wheel, gear stick, and handbrake that I'm actually physically using in my setup. And then you have to have a green screen. Everyone be familiar what a green screen is. It's like just green material that's easy to chop out of videos, and then you have to get that mounted with stands. I actually don't have proper stands yet. I made a makeshift one for this video, but yeah, then you just record everything, match it up in the video, and delete the green material, and you just have my hands and steering wheel remaining, and sort of position them in the right place in the game footage, and then it basically looks like I'm sitting in the game driving the car. So it comes out really well. It looks fantastic, and I mean it kind of shows off what's capable of the game now. You know, whenever you can pick up, whether it's circuit racing games, rally games, you know, other virtual reality games, it's like you're actually there in the place that you're playing in. So it's something really cool, and I'm looking forward to making more videos going forward of new ideas going forward. So yeah, looking forward to doing them.
I can tell you're not married with kids. That's the first thing. After listening to that, I walk past my seat and steering wheel before in our spare room, and it's covered in clothes. So the concept of making any type of video, or even getting to play it. So no, but joking aside, good on you, obviously, because this is, I suppose, You're because obviously you won the world championship as well, but now you're obviously you're working with Codemasters, you know, pretty much full time on their 2.0. So you're now seen as a kind of go-to. People are now using your exploits as perhaps the benchmark of, okay, well, this is where we need to be now, not necessarily with performance, but also, you know, the video content that you're producing.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, with winning the world championship, I got really good press coverage out of that, and, you know, really good promotion. So it was just a matter of trying to keep that vibe going, just to, you know, keep my name in there. So I'm just trying to, you know, make relatable content and stuff that people enjoy. And I think, you know, there's maybe like 20,000 views on that video now on Facebook. So it's something that people enjoy, and I want to make more of it and show people that sim racing has come a long way, and it's a great way to train or to get involved in motorsport from a young age. You know, if there's kids out there that want to get involved in motorsport but can't afford it, you know, the parents don't have enough money to put them in a go-kart, they can pick up a game that has esports of some sort, whether that's circuit racing or rallying, or, you know, there's tons of other esports. You can pick that game up and basically compete for nothing. And at the end of the day, you still get the same competitive edge, you know, that sort of hunger that you want to win. And, you know, the rewards are still really good as well. You know, I'm a world champion at something now virtually in the sport that I love. So it feels very much like, you know, it's not as good as the real thing, but it does feel like a great accomplishment. And it's something that I'm very proud of. So trying to just make people more aware of simulator use, and you know, what you see in that video is basically how I trained before Rally Germany in 2017. That's what I used. You know, I used VR, so it was basically like sitting in an R5 Fiesta in Germany stages, and, you know, I could play that as much as I wanted, and it didn't cost me anything. So, you know, it's as realistic as you can get. You know, you can look to your apexes, get as close to the corner as you can, and carry as much speed as you can, and, you know, judge your braking distances, and it just makes the immersion of it so much more realistic, and is a great way to train, or, you know, to get involved in motorsport.
John, do you think, we you know, I can remember, it's long before your time, this, but where Codemasters began, which was obviously the original Colin McRae game, and that clearly inspired a generation back then. And then obviously things have moved on since then, but we seem to have, you know, I remember there was McRae, and then obviously the Richard Burns game came out as well, which was so intense compared to McRae, because there was so much more that you could do with the car. And some may say it was almost too intense in that particular game, because, you know, you were doing diff settings and things like that. And, you know, a 12-year-old lad might not be that switched on of doing a centre diff. That's what I was thinking. But we had generations of people that were inspired back then. And then there's kind of been this no man's land, and whether it's rallying in general or whatever it may be. But are you spotting it now? Because you must be encountering fans now as well. Of when you've done obviously world championship, and obviously the stuff you're doing with the guys at Codemasters and Dirt 2, and then obviously there'll be launch stuff and things like that. Are you spotting a generation now that perhaps we could get inspiration again, and maybe push, you know, people back into the actual sport the way the original game did?
Yeah, like you said, I think back whenever Colin McRae 1 came out, some people only knew of Colin McRae because of his video game. It brought him a lot of fame, and, you know, I guess whenever people seen his game, played his game, and enjoyed it so much, they obviously followed him on the world stage then in reality. And it's a great way to connect the fans to the real life sport. And, you know, like you said, there's people that are I'm encountering more people that are asking me questions about what equipment they should buy and what game they should get. Obviously, Dirt Rally.
It's the right answer, John. It's the right answer.
Yeah. It's the best game, but yeah, it's very much a way to sort of get the next, you know, generation of kids interested in the sport again, and, you know, the sports at its best level that I can think of in my generation. You know, it's the World Championships really intriguing to watch. There's a great championship battle. All the cars are really evenly matched, and, you know, we never really know what driver's going to win each event now. You can have a stab at guessing, but, you know, the result is always different than what we guess.
We're horrendous at guessing. This podcast is without doubt the worst at making predictions. Yeah.
I made a prediction that Loeb would win Spain, and that came true. So maybe I should predict more. But yeah, it's definitely a great way for people to get back into the sport, and, you know, they can set up a virtual rally car in their living room, and they can fall in love with driving cars, and they can express themselves in ways that they might be able to afford. And, you know, it's definitely something that's becoming more popular now, and we're even seeing some drivers in, like, the likes of WRC2 using simulators to prepare, and it's only a matter of time before that goes up to maybe some of the WRC drivers as well, if there's technology that comes along that you're able to load stages from your recce into a driving simulator. I'm sure that the drivers would love that, and it'd be a great way to train. It's going to be a long time before that's possible, because it takes just so much resources and manpower to sculpt these stages. But, you know, I've done it in, you know, you were talking about Richard Burns Rally. It's very difficult, but it's very realistic as well, and that's the direction that we've took with Dirt Rally 2.0. It's like a hardcore simulated rally game, and, you know, it's something that the fans enjoy, and there's hardcore gamers out there, and that's all they want is something that's going to challenge them. And it's definitely becoming bigger and bigger.
John, if I can just take you, and I know we're limited to probably what we can talk about with obviously we're seeing some images of cars. We've seen the Porsche recently, which we know Rye's got a bit of a thing about Porsches. I don't know why, but hey. joking, obviously, Rye, joking. But what are the cars that you're working on at the moment? What's still being played with? What are the formats? Are we still on front wheel drive? Are we on four wheel drive? Where are we at with cars at the moment?
I guess when it comes to development, we're trying to develop all the cars when we get them from the car artists. That's so whenever the model's ready, then that's when the car handling team can start working on them to make them feel right. And that's where Ryan and myself come into play. We sort of play each car and fine tune it to the way that you would expect the real-life counterpart to handle. But the car handling team do a great job. I mean, they do a lot of research into all the specification that the real-life car has, the types of suspension arms that they have, the uprights, differentials. We have different types for all different cars. Where the mass of the car is placed in inertia, all them things is completely unique to each car, and that's what makes them all feel completely different. They do most of the groundwork, and then it's a matter of Ryan playing each car and really fine tuning what we expect of them, and then I give them another pass. And that's how it works. But at the moment, we're sort of giving every car a once over now. We have everything from historic front wheel drive, historic rear wheel drive, Group A, Group B. We have some fives, and yeah, there's just a real spread over all generations of the Ryan in the past, and there's sort of a car for every era, which is great. And it's a full time job. It's not just car handling duties that I do. Also do like the pace note validation with Phil Mills. He will, I will send him like a recce video and then he makes the pace notes. So it's basically his story and vision of what the stage should be. And then he sends the pace notes back to me and then I give him a once over, suggest some recommendations for some changes, like if a 5-right should be more like a 4, then that's something that I would say. And then I also help split them up and put them into the game then, which is what I'm doing a lot of at the moment, is actually implementing the pace notes into the game code. So yeah, it's cool for me to get involved in stuff like that. I don't think it was really in my job title when I joined, but I showed passion for what I was doing and that I was capable of taking on roles like that. So yeah, it's nice to show I can do things like that. And yeah, I just work with everyone else in the studio as well to make sure everything is authentic as it can be. They ask me questions on certain things that they're doing, whether it's if this helmet looks right, or does this tire look okay? Is this sign in the right place on the stage? Is this the way you'd think the track would tear up after one car? Just small things like that, but that's what makes it authentic, having me in the studio every day and giving my feedback.
Fantastic. Well, we're all really, really excited. Obviously, the last game that came out, we were at the launch of that. I actually came down to London for that one. So I'm really, really excited, to be honest with you, for the new game. And I still revert back. I still revert back to the old game, because you can go and do Sweet Lamb. And there's something about going to do Sweet Lamb, to be honest. Find, and I'm not just saying it because obviously at the top of this, we were talking about you making this video. There is something quite unique about playing a simulator, a game, whatever you want to call it, and you know you've actually drove that particular section as well, and implement and think of, well, can I drive it the same as what I actually drove it, or am I that brave, am I that stupid? You know, all those things go through your mind when you go, so there is something great about that, there is something great about that. But anyway, listen, John, thanks for catching up. Thanks for explaining to us about the VR video as well. And yeah, as I say, if we can do anything, we'll always share stuff around like that. And yeah, we can't wait. And I'm sure Ryan will tell us a little bit more when it gets a bit nearer the time. And maybe we'll do an Absolute Rally get together where you can kick all our arses.
That sounds excellent.
It's right between you and me, right? No one's listening. Is Ryan any good on the game?
Yeah, well, he's had a lot of practice by now, so he should be good at it.
That's all right then. Folks, you heard here first. If Ryan complains that he's not very good at it, John said he's had loads of practice. Listen, John, we'll catch up with you soon. Folks, that has been Absolute Rally for this week, and we do appreciate the download. Again, please keep sending in your answers, studio@absoluterally.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter, @absolute_rally, of course, facebook.com/absoluterally. Keep the chat going, keep getting involved, keep sharing it around, and we do appreciate your download. Back same time, same place, in your little podcast hole next week.
Absolute Rally, powered by the Kielder Works team. Spread the word and download the podcast every week.